in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
By your word and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, transform us, shift us, upgrade us. Let our life never remain the same. Grant us light, revelation, understanding, clarity. Let every confusion and darkness, let it be dispelled. For the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the release of grace to know and understand our divine purpose, calling and destiny, to find, follow and fulfill it according to your will, to the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, O you people. Come on, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. You might be seated in God's presence. Hallelujah. This is the grand finale of our April Apostolic Teaching Series, High Calling. Part what? This is part 4. Praise God. How many people have been enjoying this teaching series? It's a very critical one. Very, very important. If almost every other area of your life depends on this teaching, it's tied to your calling, of course, your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. It is worth knowing. It is worth spending time and making every necessary investment. Philippians 3:14. Praise God, which was our anchor scripture. Philippians 3:14. We say the aim of this series is to help you find, follow, and fulfill your divine calling, purpose, and what? Destiny. Okay? And today I'll be focusing on that last part, fulfilling your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. I'll be focusing more on keys, how you will fulfill your divine calling. Keys that will help you fulfill it. Praise God. I say praise God. Paul said, I press. Somebody say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As you can see, there is a price to pay. There is a pressing price to pay if you are really serious about fulfilling your high calling in Christ. Even after knowing and understanding your divine calling, you still need to pay the price to press in order to fulfill it. Laziness is an enemy that can stop you from fulfilling your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Praise God. I say praise God. So you must be ready to what? Press. Somebody say press. It connotes strenuous effort. Am I communicating? You have to exert yourself You have to stretch yourself. You have to come out of your comfort zone. If you really want to fulfill your divine calling, purpose and destiny, then you must be ready to get out of your comfort zone. Am I communicating? And pursue, passionately pursue your divine calling, purpose and destiny. Praise God. So it will require effort in your part. You have a serious part to play. It's not totally up to God. God is your caller. God is the one that was the one that decided and determined your high calling, your divine purpose, your divine destiny. But you have a serious role to play. You must play your part if you want to fulfill it, because the calling will not fulfill itself in your life automatically. That's why Paul say, I press. Let me tell you, neighbor, there is a pressing price to pay in order to fulfill your divine calling, your high calling in Christ. Praise God. You know, last week we looked at what? Who can remember? Last week, what did we look at? You know, listen, this is a school. Every Avalanche of Glory service is a school. Also, a training and equipping center. So, when coming to school, when going to school, what do you go along with? Your what? Writing materials. So after the lecture, what do you do to the notes you take? You revise it, right? You go through it, right? And things you learned. It's the same principle. For instance, after last week's service, how many of you went through your notes? Or you just copy like secretary and keep it? Waiting for exam time so that you will now do crash course and do TDB and put your leg inside bowl of water. All the notes you've not been reading. Do you know the things you are learning now? Life will demand it from you. We may not give you school like Unijos or Plapoli, but your own exam is called life exam. So, I charge you to always revise your notes. Go through all the scripture references. That is how to maximize this thing. Download the message from Telegram channel. Every week. Sunday is the first day of the week. Within the week, download and listen to it again. And go through all those scriptures. This is how you maximize it. Do it prayerfully, thoughtfully, intentionally, deliberately. Am I communicating? Bishop Oyedepo said it takes a serious approach to have a glorious result. He said nothing is glorious until you become serious. And it's true. Am I communicating? Success and greatness in life, which comes from fulfilling your divine calling, purpose and destiny, is never accidental. It is well calculated. It is deliberate. It is intentional. Am I communicating? So this is very, very important. Very, very, very important. So last week, we looked at how to find your divine calling, right? How you receive your divine calling. I gave you how many keys? 4 keys. What's the first one? We said through divine encounters. We gave example of Apostle Paul, how he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus revealed to him his divine calling, purpose and destiny. Acts 26, you see it there. Praise God. I say praise God. Divine encounters, prophetic encounters, revelatory encounters. Am I communicating? Visionary encounters. Another example was Moses Exodus 3, 1 to 10, Moses, how he encountered the angel of the Lord at the burning bush, and from that encounter, God unveiled to him, revealed his divine calling, purpose and destiny to be a deliverer. Am I communicating? And then you see that of Abraham, how he heard the voice of God say, leave your father's house, in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, to a land I will show you. Am I communicating? So, through divine encounters, prophetic dreams and vision, you remember Joseph, how did God reveal his divine calling to him? It was in a prophetic dream. Am I communicating? It was in a prophetic dream. Him and his brethren, they were in the field, and then his own sheep stood upright, and their own rallied around him and bowed to his. And then he had a second dream. In that second dream, he saw the sun, the moon, the 11 stars bowing to him, making obeisance to him. You see, that was God revealing his divine calling, purpose and destiny in that prophetic dream. Am I communicating? So this thing can come through prophetic dreams, trances, visionary encounters, etc. I won't go into details. Get the message. The second way we looked at is through divine inspiration. Okay? We said the first way, through divine encounter. You know, encounters can be very dramatic and spectacular. But we said it's not all the methods that are spectacular. Even though all these methods are scriptural and supernatural, by which God reveals your divine calling, purpose and destiny, they are all scriptural and what? Supernatural. However, not all of them are spectacular like through divine encounters. Praise God. The second method, through divine inspiration, spirit inspired. We talk about spirit inspired and sanctified thoughts coming to your mind. Spirit inspired ideas, concept, insight, spirit-inspired pictures, images coming to your mind persistently. Job 32:8, there is a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Through that divine inspiration, you get to know and understand your divine calling. It may not be spectacular as in Jesus appearing to you in a vision, or an angel appearing to you in a burning bush like Moses, but it is as supernatural as the first one. Praise God. In Acts 7:23, the Bible talks about Moses. The Bible says Moses, when he was 40 years, it came into his heart. It came like an idea. That was his destiny calling him. Am I communicating? Praise God. Never trivialize or just discard those spirit inspired thoughts that drop into your mind. Am I communicating? It may be in an atmosphere of God's presence in a service like this, or it may be when you were praying or studying the Bible. Am I communicating? Or you are just meditating on God and the things of God. The Holy Ghost will just drop those spirit inspired ideas. Am I communicating? They are revealers of your assignment. And even we said the word of God is a bank of divine inspiration. He said all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, and is profitable. So the scriptures are God-breathed. In other words, by meditating on the scripture, you can contact divine inspiration that will reveal your divine purpose and calling. Yes. We saw example of Jesus, Luke 4:18. You know, when the anointing came upon Jesus, after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Luke 4:14, he returned in the power of the Spirit, the fame of him spread abroad. Then he entered the synagogue for to read, and he took the scroll, and he located the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me. And Jesus began to tell them his divine mission, his messianic mission. So question, how did Jesus locate his divine calling? From the pages of scriptures. This is Isaiah 61. Am I communicating? So this is by divine inspiration. As you meditate on the word, the Holy Ghost can quicken revealing scriptures that has to do with your calling. Scriptures that reveal your calling. The same thing with John the Baptist. John the Baptist, they asked him, "Who are you?" They were sent to find out who he was. He said, "Are you Jesus, the Messiah?" He said, "No." "Are you Prophet Isaiah?" He said, "No." "Are you that prophet?" He said, "No." "Then who are you?" So that we may give an answer to those that sent us. John 1:22-23. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path." He was quoting Isaiah 40 verse 3, right? He was quoting Isaiah 40 verse 3. In other words, from the inspiration of scriptures, he located his divine calling. Am I communicating? Give me Isaiah 40 verse 3. Look at it. "The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye." Is this not the scripture he was quoting? God's plan for you, God's purpose for you, they are in his word. You cannot discover your divine calling, purpose and destiny with a closed Bible. Bible that you don't read, you don't meditate, you don't even study it. How will you know? It is sealed here. It takes the anointing to unseal it. May God open your eyes. Praise God. We say, don't just hear the word, see the word. The word of the Lord Isaiah saw. He said, "Son of man, what can you see?" Can you see your future, your beautiful, glorious future in God's word? You learn to meditate until you see. You see those beautiful pictures of your destiny. Then the third key we looked at is through what? The passion and compassion of your heart. If you want to discover your divine calling, purpose and destiny, pay attention to the passion and compassion of your heart. Yes, because there is a direct connection between the passion of your heart and what God has ordained you to do. That's your divine assignment. They are connected. Your passion is a pointer to your divine calling, purpose and destiny. Because Moses was called to be a deliverer, he hated oppression. You remember when he went to visit his brethren as a prince of Egypt, because he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. The Bible said he saw an Egyptian maltreating an Israelite, and the deliverer in him arose, and out of anger, because he hated oppression, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Mike Murdock said, "What you hate is a clue to something God have anointed you and ordained you to solve. And your assignment has to do with solving specific problems." Am I communicating? Praise God. So pay attention to the passion and compassion of your heart. There is a connection between the burdens of your heart and your life's bearing. Am I communicating? Nehemiah, when he heard the news about the broken walls, he was comfortable walking as a king's cupbearer in the palace. Am I communicating? He was being paid well, big salary. He was comfortable. But the moment the news about the broken walls of Jerusalem got to him, the Bible said, Kai. The burden landed in his heart. It became like depressed. I call it holy depression. He became dissatisfied. Now, have you asked yourself, why is it that he was the only person that became so passionate about the condition of Jerusalem, that the walls were broken, his father's sepulcher lie waste? What about even the Anani and his friends, the people that brought the news? Why didn't they do something about it? It's because it's not their calling. So, see, don't expect your passion to be equal to other people's passion, because assignments are not the same. The things that will burden you will be related to your calling. What are the things you love? What are the things you love to do? And you are ready to spend the rest of your life doing, even if you won't be paid 1 naira. They are clue to your assignment. Let me ask you a question. If you have all, I know people work for money to survive, to make ends meet. Now look at me. If you had all the money you ever need, what will you spend the rest of your life doing? What you love to do and you are passionate about doing, that thing is a clue to your assignment. What will you love to do and you will love doing, even if nobody will pay you, you will still enjoy doing it, is a clue to your assignment. Am I communicating? The passion and compassion of your heart, what you feel determines what you can heal. In fact, what you feel, the pain you feel, is a clue to what God have anointed you to heal. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, pay attention to the passion and compassion of your heart, because they are pointers to your divine calling, purpose and destiny. Bishop Oyedepo said, I hated poverty with all my life. He said, anytime he used to hear that expression, as poor as a church rat, the thing used to pain him. He said, those days, he will see how they are doing building project for years, and the project has not gone beyond foundation level. He used to ask himself, will it take forever to build the house of God? Committees upon committees, building committees, they will even die and pass over to the next committee yet. So he said his plan initially in his heart was to become a businessman, and then he will become a kingdom financier and use his money to give towards kingdom projects, because he hated the way the church was so poor. Now that passion was a clue to his calling. He said 1986 he was in America. God spoke to him, go down to Africa and make my people rich. Some people are criticizing him that he's preaching prosperity. You don't know his calling. It's part of his calling. Initially, God said, go and preach faith. The hour has come to liberate the people of the world from the oppression of the devil through the preaching of the word of faith. Then God added another one. He said, go down to Africa and make my people rich. If you fight a man that is fulfilling his calling, you are wasting your time. God told Kumuyi to preach holiness. So you don't expect him to make prosperity his main message. Don't worry, I'll come to that when I start showing you keys to fulfilling your calling. Before you criticize anybody, find out what God called them to do, because that will be their main emphasis. They will preach the whole Bible, but especially that part. Look at our own. Very simple. This is our calling. There are three mandates of our vision. Number one, glory mandate, to raise the people of glory. Number two, word manifestation mandate. Number three, which one? Dominion mandate, raising the takeover generation. As long as we are faithful to this calling, God too is faithful. He will back us up. And if you try to stop us, God that called us will kill you. Is that one too harsh? Praise God. Praise God. What is the fourth key? The last key that I gave. We say the first key is what? Divine encounters. The second one? Number what? I'm doing summary for those that were not around, but you can get the message. The last key I gave was what? You are giving chorus answer. Your what? Your God-given potentials, gift and talents. Romans 11:29. Is it the gift and callings of God are without repentance? God gave you your gifts, your potentials, your talent to help you fulfill your calling, to equip you to fulfill your calling. The gift and callings of God, they go together. They go together. They go together. It's like phone and charger. If you buy original phone from the company. Do you pay separately for the charger? Except you bought from all those roadside people for Amas. They over how far? You like this one? Those one I know they get charger. Am I original? Praise God. Look up. Your gifts go hand in hand with your calling. So if you want to find out your calling, pay attention to your gifts. They are revealers of your calling. They are pointers to your calling. Am I communicating? Your potentials are pointers to your calling. God gave you those potentials in order to enable you, equip you to fulfill your calling. Praise God. The gift and callings of God are without repentance. Let me give you an assignment. If you go back home, go and sit down and prayerfully, thoughtfully write out all the gifts you have discovered in your life that God has given you, including the one that people close to you have noticed. Write them down. They are pointers to your calling. Praise God. The gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance, meaning God does not change his mind about the gift and the callings that he gives you. He doesn't change his mind about it. Even if you can change your mind, but God cannot change his mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we can move now, right? Pray in tongues. We need speed today. I was telling my wife, we have a lot to cover today. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost? Shakavala kusataya. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Mandegebo kusataya. Embresko telik rahatila batinas. Shelibakondo sovrahatila hatanas. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Now, keys to fulfilling your divine calling. Keys to fulfilling your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Give me Colossians 4 verse 17. Colossians 4 verse what? Colossians 4 17. What does it say? Say to Archippus, take what? Take heed. What's the meaning of take heed? What's the meaning of take heed? Take heed. Pay attention. Take heed means pay attention to the ministry. To the ministry. And what did we define ministry as? Service in the area of your what? Your calling, in line with God's will for your life. That's ministry. Pay attention to the ministry, or pay attention to the calling, or pay attention to your divine assignment. Am I communicating? Which thou hast received in the Lord. Okay? And we said, when you came to Christ, every one of us received a ministry, because you received a calling. Right? He said, pay attention to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, comma, that thou fulfill it. So it's one thing to receive the ministry or calling. It's another thing to fulfill it. And that's what we'll be looking at. How do you fulfill it? Praise God. Because there are many people that receive the ministry. They discovered, they found out, but they never fulfilled it. Praise God. That will not be your portion. I said that will not be your portion. Amplify, say to Archippus, see that you discharge carefully the duties of the ministry and fulfill the stewardship. Yes. Ministry means stewardship or service. Praise God. Which you have received in the Lord. Now give me John 4:34. Jesus made a very profound statement there. He said, Jesus said unto them, my meat is what? To do the will of him that sent me. You are sent to fulfill a special task. We say a call is a specific summon, right? It's a specific summon to carry out a specific mission. It says, my meat, in other words, what gives me pleasure, my food. You can say my food. I know food gives pleasure, right? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You will finish your work. I say you will fulfill and finish your assignment.
Amen.
You will finish strong.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Then give me 2 Timothy 4 verse 5 to 8. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5 to 8. Are you getting blessed? Thank you, Lord. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof. That last part, make full proof of thy ministry. You must take responsibility for fulfilling your ministry. Nobody will do it for you. You must what? Take responsibility. He said, make full proof. If other people are more serious about your divine calling, purpose, and destiny than you, then that means you are not ready to fulfill it. How can other people be more serious than you? You that is the main actor, the main character. Praise God. It doesn't work like that. He said, make full proof of thy ministry. He's talking of fulfilling your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Verse 6. Paul went ahead to give his own example. Verse 6. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. Look up. You are not permitted to exit the earth until you have fulfilled your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. I am now ready to offer. You are not permitted to die until you have fulfilled what? Even Jesus could not be killed before his time came. He could only go after he had fulfilled his earthly messianic mission. Am I communicating? No devil can kill you when you are mission-minded, when you are passionately pursuing your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. You are following it, fulfilling it, because your security lies in your what? Pursuit and fulfillment of your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. The host of heaven will back you up. They will preserve you. They will protect you. Praise God. That's why I keep saying, no devil can kill me. They no burn them. What did I say? They no burn them. That devil is not born. It will never be born. Praise God. I say, praise God. You see, many people die premature because they derail from their calling. They are not fulfilling divine, so they become vulnerable to demonic attacks. But when you stay and abide in your calling, and you are following and fulfilling it, following, fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life, I'm telling you, there are angels. The host of heaven will be protecting you. Praise God. He said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Next verse. I have fought a good fight. This is Paul giving the summary of his life and ministry. I have fought a good fight. Telling you that fulfilling your calling requires that you fight the good fight of faith. Okay? Because Satan and demons will not just fold their hands, okay, and watch you do it. You have to fight. You have to be a fighter. You have to fight the good fight of faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. That course there is talking of his divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Praise God. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. He didn't lose the faith. Praise God. I say, praise God. Paul finished strong. You will finish strong. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. See, there is a reward for fulfilling your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God has reward for you on earth. Then the bigger reward is in heaven. Am I communicating? What God will reward you for at the judgment seat of Christ is the fulfillment of your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. There's a reward for it. He says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but also to that that love is appearing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, write this down. Write this down. There are some important things to know concerning fulfilling your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. The first thing you should know is that you must discern the right timing. Discern the right timing for the fulfillment of your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Give me Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. Discern the right timing. Okay? To everything there is a what? To everything there is a season. And a time to what? Every purpose under heaven. Look up. God is a God of times and season. You understand? The time God reveals to you your divine calling, purpose, and destiny is not necessarily equal to the time for its fulfillment. There is usually an incubation period. Praise God. Luke 2:49. At the age of 12, Jesus knew his earthly messianic mission. When his parents were looking for him, when he sat back at Jerusalem talking with the rabbis, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law there, listening to them and asking them questions, the parents later realized Jesus was left behind. They had to go looking for him. And when they finally met him, Jesus said, don't you know that I must be about what? My father's business. Did you notice that he knew his assignment at the age of 12, but it took him another 18 years before he could launch out to fulfill that assignment? Because Jesus began his public ministry at the age of what? 30. After he was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he went to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He went on 40 days prayer and fasting, and then he returned in the power of the Spirit, and then he started his ministry. Now listen, what I want you to see there is that Jesus knew his assignment at 12 years, but he did not launch out to start publicly until he was 30. What was he doing in between for that 18 years? Somebody say preparation. There is preparation time, then there is manifestation time. Avoid premature manifestation syndrome. Okay? It's not enough to know your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. You must design the right timing for certain assignment, task to be carried out. Am I communicating? Because if you try to accomplish it before the appointed time, there will be no backing. God is not obligated to support and back you up. You may fail. You can suffer failure and frustration. So you must design the right timing. Am I communicating? To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Praise God. And then, you see, to every purpose, look at it. There is a time to accomplish every purpose, or calling, or destiny. Then, verse 11. It says, he has made everything. God has made everything beautiful in his time. Can you shout amen? Oh, when it is the right time to step out, God makes everything beautiful for you. All that you need, the grace, the wisdom, the gift of men, every resource you need, the money, name it, God makes them available at the appointed time. So you must discern the appointed time. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. You remember the example of Moses? Moses knew that he is called to be the deliverer. Even when he was 40 years, it came into his heart. He knew. But did you notice that it took another 40 years before the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush and then commissioned him to go ahead? Moses attempted, okay, give me that, Acts 7:23. He attempted to go before the appointed time to fulfill the assignment in his own power, using his own wisdom. But he failed woefully. He was met with failure and frustration. In fact, he had to run away. Pharaoh was looking for him. He was on most wanted list in Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Came into his heart to visit, next verse, to visit his brethren, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, avenged him that was oppressed, and he smote the Egyptian. Next verse, he said, for he supposed, assumption, for he supposed. Never act based on assumption, okay? Make sure you are led by the Spirit of God. He said, for he supposed his brethren will have understood how that God by his hand will deliver them. Is this not Moses' calling? The calling is correct. He knew. But the timing is wrong here. This is not the appointed time for him to take action. Did you see that? But they understood not. Next verse. And the next day he showed himself unto them as a strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, you are brethren. Now he saw two Hebrew fighting and he said, you people are brethren. Why do you wrong one to another? Next verse. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away. He pushed him away. They go, John, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Next verse. Will thou kill me as thou didst kill the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses out of fear for his dear life at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. Hallelujah. Moses attempted to fulfill his divine calling at the wrong time, and he failed. The timing was wrong. It is true that he is the one God have ordained to be the deliverer of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage and captivity, but this is not the time. His approach too was wrong. The timing was wrong. The strategy was wrong. But in Exodus 3, when the appointed time came, God appeared to him in the burning bush, and then God anointed and commissioned him, and the whole of Egypt was at his feet. He humbled the pride of Egypt. Egypt was a world power then. Praise God. He was unstoppable, unkillable. He didn't even fear Pharaoh again. The same Pharaoh he ran away from before. Hiya. God told him, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Praise God. So you must design the right timing. Are you getting this? What of Joseph? He knew his assignment in that prophetic dream at the age of 17. But what time did he become prime minister? Talk to me. At the age of what? He was 30. 30 minus 17 is how many? 13. So for 13 solid years, he waited. Now, that waiting period is called preparation time. So, listen. There is preparation time, then there is manifestation time. Then there is manifestation time. So when we say wait upon the Lord, wait for the right timing,
It doesn't mean you will wait, cross your leg, doing nothing. No. That waiting period is preparation time. You should be preparing yourself. You should be building capacity. You should be studying, praying. Just like we were here yesterday for Festival of Fire. If you were not here, you missed big time. Praise God. That preparation time is activity while waiting. Sharpening your skills. Are you getting me? Preparing for your Kairos moment so that you don't miss at the appointed time when opportunity. Imagine if Joseph had not sharpened and developed his skill, and if he had not built capacity, and then his Kairos moment came. Now God has given Pharaoh a dream that nobody could interpret, including Pharaoh himself. And then they sent for Joseph. Imagine if he didn't have capacity. Imagine if he didn't develop himself. If he had not developed his skills of interpreting dream, they would have sent him back to prison, right? And that is how his Kairos moment will have passed. His manifestation season, that will have been the end. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, prepare yourself. See, greatness and success in fulfilling your assignment is not automatic. It answers to thorough, adequate preparation. Success in any endeavor answers to thorough, adequate preparation. There is this popular saying that proper and prayerful preparation prevents what? Poor performance. So if you don't want to perform poorly in fulfilling your divine calling, purpose, and destiny, then what? Prepare yourself properly. Take the preparation time seriously. During this preparation time, God is going to train you. Okay? Is it season of training? This preparation phase is a training period. Is a training period. Praise God. Is a phase in which you are being trained to fulfill your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. God will train you under tutors and governors. Give me Galatians 4 verse 1. God will put you under his trainers that he has ordained, set over your life, just like you are being trained here. Okay? Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, deferred nothing from a servant, though he be the Lord of all. Verse 2. He said, but he is under tutors and governors. Tutors there represent teachers. Governors there represent trainers. So in the preparation period, God will put you under teachers and trainers to prepare you for where you are going. So you learn to subscribe to the trainings you are receiving, because if you are not well taught and well trained, you cannot fulfill your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Is that serious? How effective, or if at all you will even fulfill it, depends on the quality of the teachings and the training you are receiving. God will put you. The problem is many people are not submitted to their teachers and trainers, so they lengthen their waiting period. While they say they are still waiting upon the Lord, God is saying, it's you I'm waiting upon now. Your time, you are long overdue for manifestation. But because you are not serious, so they keep having carryovers in the school of training. Praise God. All this one leg in, one leg out, it will not help your life. Subscribe fully to it. Take it seriously. Praise God. I say praise God. Preparation precedes and determines manifestation. The quality of your preparation is what determines the quality of your manifestation. During this training, you must subscribe. During this preparation period, you must subscribe to the law of process. There's what we call the law of process. Before manifestation, Before you get at any product, you must go through the God-ordained process. God will take you through the law of process, and he will train you those seasons of preparation. They come before seasons of manifestation. Give me Luke 1 verse 8. Luke 1 verse 8. Look at this. Luke 1 verse 8. It says, and the child grew and waxed strong, talking about John the Baptist. Even John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, who was sent to be a witness that will bear the light. A witness of Christ, the light. He had to be trained for his own ministry. The child grew. He worked strong in the spirit. You see, it's during training period that God expects you to build capacity. All manner of capacity. Spiritual capacity. Mental capacity. Faith capacity. Wisdom capacity. You build capacity to fulfill destiny. He worked strong in the spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Give me an amplified. Is it that day of showing forth is the manifestation phase? Am I communicating? The showing forth. You spring into action. Come to public light. Never be in a hurry to manifest until you are well prepared. The little boy grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the desert wilderness until the day of his appearing to Israel. In parenthesis, the commencement of his public ministry. That's manifestation. But before then, preparation and training. So, all this festival of fire is part of your training. 12 hours in God's presence is part of your training. Metamorphosis on Tuesday, which is our school of leadership development and ministerial training. I'm currently on a course called The Anointing for Ministry and Service, right? We finished DNA of leadership for over 2 months. It's part of your training. Throne of Grace Encounter Service, Friday, corporate prayer meeting. It's part of your training. Avalanche of Glory Service. All these teachings, they are part of your training. Can you shout amen? Tell your neighbor, take your training seriously. Then there are others, I will come to mentorship later. There are other mentors that God brings your way to train and equip you, to guide you. It's part of your training. How far and how fast you go is a function of the quality of the training you receive. Am I communicating? Very important. Give me 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5. It says 27 verse 6. Give me 27 verse 6. Good. So Jotham became mighty. That word mighty also means great. Jotham became mighty, or Jotham became great. Jotham became successful. Because he what? He prepared his ways before the Lord his God. You see the power of preparation. So greatness and success in your calling is never accidental. It doesn't happen by coincidence. It's not by luck. It's not automatic. You must prepare yourself for where you are going. See, once you know where you are going, the next thing, the next wise decision is to what? Prepare yourself. Subscribe to the trainings, all the trainings you need. To become a medical doctor, I knew the 6 years plus one extra internship. That's 7 years of training in medical school. That's just to be a doctor. How much more your own destiny, fulfilling your destiny? It's a training process. Nobody just becomes something just like that. To become an engineer, you have to go through, to become a lawyer, but you go through law school. There is a school of destiny customized for every one of us. Am I communicating? There is no substitute for training. Jotham did not become great by luck or by accident. It's not accidental, because he prepared his ways before the Lord. Am I communicating? Jesus, for 30 years, though he was the Son of God, had to prepare himself before he fulfilled his ministry. Knew his assignment by 12, but it took 18 solid years of quality preparation. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Before then, we read that he entered the temple, he sat in the midst of the teachers of the law, the professors of the law, and he was listening to them and they're asking them questions. It was part of his preparation period. Am I communicating? Don't be lazy, oh, put in the work. So you must discern the right time. When John the Baptist, after subscribing to the preparation period and training, attending the training school of the Holy Ghost, when it was time for his public ministry, what? The guy came like a wild man with his unconventional way of preaching and unconventional way of baptizing people. Before he came, they only knew baptism by sprinkling. But the guy came, he will dip people into the water. What? That was part of the things that attracted the crowd. It's not just his firebrand preaching, no. It is his strange way of baptizing people. Before, nobody ever baptized people like that before him. He just came shouting, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare. In fact, the location of his own church was in the wilderness. No packaging, no fine boy, no blazer suit, Italian suit. The guy was wearing camel's hair. His food was what? Locust and wild honey. You know locust? Atata. I don't even know where he was living. Maybe on top of one tree branch. You understand? Where is even his accommodation? Is he one wild man like that? But look at the funny part. Because his season has come, he was preaching and the crowd left the city. The city that had synagogue, they bypassed the synagogue. Annas and Caiaphas being high priests, the word of the Lord bypassed them because they were playing politics and religion. They even had two high priests instead of one. To tell you the level, you see, church politics, it not be today it starts. Read your Bible. They had two high priests, Annas and Caiaphas. The word of the Lord bypassed some serious people and came to John in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Matthew 3 verse 5. Make straight the path for the Lord. And then the Bible says, look at the category of people that went out to him. What? Not individuals, so city was attending his service. Cities, as in they take attendance, not individual, they take attendance city by city. Okay, Jerusalem people, where are you? Jerusalem came. Say, which other one again? Judea. Okay, Judea was in attendance. Which other one again? Jordan. You understand? All around Jordan. Imagine all the people all around Jordan. Why? Because his time has what? Come. Even Jesus, during his preparation period, had to submit under John the Baptist. Even though John the Baptist's ministry is to prepare the way for Jesus, but Jesus understood timing. Timing is everything with God. Don't try to force some things before the time. Yeah. Celebrate with those on stage manifesting now, but just smile a bit, say we are coming. Are you getting me? Don't be intimidated by anybody displaying their own gift because their season of showing forth. They are raining, they are shining. Calm down. Your own time too will come. Just keep sharpening yourself. Keep preparing yourself so that once your time comes, the stage light will be on you. Are you getting me? This is very important. Then number two, we say the first thing to know and understand, design what? The right timing for your manifestation, which we say is preceded by what? Preparation. The next thing is design the right place for the fulfillment of your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Assignments are geographical per time. They are geographical per time. Design the right place. Where does God want you to be per time? Design the right place. Places matter when it comes to fulfilling divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Places matter. Oh, even Jesus did not do well in certain places. In fact, Jesus needed to relocate the headquarters of his ministry from his hometown, Nazareth, to Capernaum, because the people of Nazareth, they dishonored him because of over familiarity, and they didn't receive his ministry. You must design the right place where God wants you to be part time. Am I communicating? If you go and sell, you say, God have instructed me to sell into cold water business. Block, you are selling ice block. God led me. And then you now flew to Antarctica. Eh? Iceland. You even open an ice block company in Iceland. Oh, Mike Mudok said, I compose a bestseller for you. How dumb thou art! How dumb thou art! How can you? They don't need the place that temperature is minus something. You understand? But if you carry the thing to places like Meduguri, you know, give me hot weather. You understand? They will appreciate it. They will value it. Am I communicating? So places matter. The word of the Lord came unto. Give me 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Let me show you something to show you that places matter when it comes to fulfilling your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 3, go thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by what? The brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Can you see specific location where God gave him? Geographical location. Next verse. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Look at that last word. Shout it. There. Places matter. If Elijah does not go there, he will starve to death. He will die of the famine. Where has God called you to go to stay in, to be at? Be led by the Spirit of God. It matters where you stay. You imagine somebody by divine destiny, God wants you to be in Jos, for instance, but you move to Port Harcourt. So all your destiny helpers that are meant to help you in Jos, they cannot find you. You are roaming around in Port Harcourt. I'm just giving an example. Or maybe God told you, stay in Nigeria. He said, no, all my mates are Japarin. I must join the Japa bandwagon. The Japa's anointing came upon you, and you Japa'd. Went to Germany. And problem just they jam you anyhow for Germany. Others are making money. You are being jammed because you are in the wrong place. Am I communicating? Before you join the Japa bank wagon, find out the will of God. Am I communicating? To Japa or not to Japa? Speak, Lord, thy servant hear it. Keep praying. Are you listening? It's very important because places matter. Do you know some people's destiny is suffering severe delay because they are wrongly located? The only help God can help them is to move them from where they are to where He wants them to be, in line with His will. Be at the center of God's will for your life. Are you getting me? Don't be led by opportunities. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't be led by people. Be led by... Don't bow to peer pressure. Don't even be led by your parents. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Parents, don't force your children to do what you want them to do without first consulting with the Holy Spirit to find out His will for their life. Your job is to find, say, train up a child in the way he should go. So the job of a parent, you find out the will of God concerning a child, and then you train the child accordingly to fulfill that will, not to carry out your own wish. He said, me, I tried to study medicine to be a doctor. It no work during my time. My son, firstborn, must study medicine. And then firstborn say, now football he like. He said, see, if you don't study this medicine, I will disfather you. Praise God. I say praise God. Find out the will of God for your child and train the child to follow suit. Praise God. Don't be led by money. Nigerians, their eyes they chook. Job opportunity, now the one with the highest salary they pick. Even if they say the location of the place is close to Sambisa Forest, say salary 1.2 million. They are still Nigerian. You understand? They know they pray again. No? Three jobs. One, 50,000 per month. Second one, 250,000 per month. Third one, 1.5 million. God have spoken. Now the third one. Nigerians don't pray. No, for where? See, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, not as many as are led by money. Some opportunities are traps. So some people have collected some job and they lost their faith in the process. They are almost like unbelievers now. Because even Sunday they go to work. No time for God. Eh? No time for God. Be led by the Spirit. Some of you, the person that is meant to marry you is in the location where God says you should stay. You say, no, you don't want to stay. You are in another location. You are praying for life partner. The Holy Ghost will say, go back to that. Come back to Jos. You know one here. Now, so some people don't marry Mami Water. Some guys, praise God. Some ladies have married ritualists. They now told the ritualist husband, say, your next sacrifice is your wife. You see? You understand? That will not be your portion. So location matters. Give me verse 5. That says 1 Kings 17, verse 5. Are you learning something? So design the right timing, design the right place for the fulfillment of your assignment. Your assignment is geographical per time. The Spirit led. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, and that is before Jordan. Next verse. And the ravens brought. You see, your provision is guaranteed in the place of your assignment. Your provision. Your allocation is in your divine location. God will bring your allocation. He will put it there for your assignment. The allocation and consignment for your assignment, they are located in your God-ordained place. Locate it and abide there. He brought in all the monies you will ever need, all the resources you will ever need, the gift of men, the connection you need. The Holy Spirit will make it available. He says the raven brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse 7. He said, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, and there had been no rain in the land. Verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him again, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. Your sustenance is tied to the right location. Are you getting this? So you must be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit to know where to be by time. May your spiritual ears pop open. May your eyes pop open to be sensitive to the voice and leading of the Holy Ghost. Number three, discern the people to whom you are sent. Discern, you are not sent to everybody. Discern the people to whom what? You are sent. Your assignment is time specific, place specific, that location specific. It is also audience specific. It is people specific. Discern the people to whom you are sent, your audience. Jeremiah 1:7, look at what God told Jeremiah. Look at it. But the Lord said unto him, say not, I am a child. He was 17 years. He said, for thou shalt go to all. Somebody say all. You will go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Two important things there. Both your audience and your God-given message. You have to discern it. Very important. To whom has God sent you? And what is the message he sent you with? What is your assignment? You have to be clear about that. Look at this. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, next verse, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up and flee unto what? Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. Did you see that? If you send yourself, you will pay the transport. You will sponsor yourself. But if God sent you and you obey his voice and do his bidding and go to where he told you to go, the people he told you to go to, God will pay the transport. God's will is God's bill. Yes, God's will is God's bill. He will foot the bill. Am I communicating? But finally, Jonah learned his lesson. After the storm arose, God in his mercy still prepared a whale, a big fish, to swallow him. And then he repented and prayed inside the belly of the fish. After the enzyme have digested all his hair, and my guy has become alopecia totalis. Only medical people will understand that. Gorimapa. Akbari. How do you say it in Yoruba? In Hausa. Somebody with no, you understand? Ballad everywhere. Enzymes have digested the thing. So it's not due to old age. It's disobedience. The enzyme just inside the belly of the fish. He cried out to God, and then God heard his prayer and commanded the fish to vomit Jonah. Just at the shore of the where God sent him. Then Jonah chapter 3. This time around he had repented. Look at it. The word of the Lord came again. God, I told you the gift and callings of God are without repentance. God does not change his mind. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, verse 2, he said, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Not just the one you want to preach, not the trendy one. Find your message and find your unique voice, and then discern your audience, those to whom you are sent. Am I communicating? Not everybody need your calling, but there are people God have assigned you to. Find out. Am I communicating? If you try casting your pearl before swine, what will happen? They will tread it underfoot. They will turn and rend you. They will not value it. He said, arise, go preach to them the preaching I bid thee. Can you see that Jonah's calling was what? Specific. To which people? The people of what? Nineveh. Hi! If you read down, you will see that by the time Jonah entered and started preaching the message God told him to preach to the people that God sent him. A fact. Let me say this. The biggest revival in the Bible happened there. Have you seen that kind of revival? That even human beings and animals fasted 3 days and nights. 3 days, three nights. The king proclaimed, he put on ashes and sackcloth, sign of repentance. The king proclaimed 3 days dry fasting, that nobody should eat anything, including animals. He said, now, come down, verse 5, go down. Have you seen any kind of revival like that in the Bible? Even today, that even animals fasted. The fear of the Lord came upon animals too. They fasted. National repentance. Even animals repented of their wickedness. Just because Jonah obeyed his calling and preached the message God gave him. Am I communicating? The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Next verse. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne, laid his robe from, and then covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes. Next verse. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king, that his noble said, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Next verse. When I told you it affected animals, you think I'm joking. Look at it there. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry. Even animals have to pray. Prayer and fasting. Let them turn everyone from his evil. They have to repent. Verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, will perish not? Verse 10. And God saw their works, and then turned from God repented, you see. So you see how the revival happened there, because Jonah obeyed his call. Praise God. I say praise God. So design your audience. Judges 6:14. God sent what's his name? Gideon, thank you, to the people of the Midianites to deliver Israel from, he sent him to deliver Israel from the Midianite captivity. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Praise God. Praise God. Give me Matthew 10 verse 5. When Jesus was sending the disciples on a mission, he specifically instructed them. He said, these 12 disciples Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any of the city of the Samaritan. Did you see that? He said, don't enter into the city of the Samaritans. Into any of the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. This was before he died for the sins of the whole world. Then verse 6. Look at verse 6. He said what? But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Luke 4:18. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Can you see the categories of people he was sent to? Number one, the poor. Number two, he has sent me to heal the what? Brokenhearted. Next, preach deliverance to the captives. Next, recovering of sight to the blind. Next, you see, Jesus was very specific the category of people that he has been sent on his messianic mission to help. Am I communicating? So design your audience. What of Paul? Paul understood. Give me Romans chapter 15 verse 15. Look at Apostle Paul. He's called the apostle to the Gentiles. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given unto me of God, comma, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. Know those to whom you are sent. Am I communicating? Ministering the gospel of God, the offering of the Gentile might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Then you see it in Galatians 2 verse 6 again. Galatians 2 verse 6, still talking about Apostle Paul. Okay, just go to verse 7. It's talking of the conference there. Then verse 7. He said, but contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards what? The Gentiles. He said, Peter's calling was to the Jews, the circumcision. His own calling is to the Gentiles. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is. The same God sent them. Verse 9. He said, when James, Cephas, John, who seemed to be pillars, they were pillars of the early church, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go on to the heathen, that's the Gentiles, the non-Jewish unsaved world, and they unto the circumcision, that is the Jews. Are you seeing that? So your assignment is people specific. You also have to design your message and stick with it. Jonas preached the same message God instructed him to preach, and revival broke out in Nineveh and the people repented. Isaiah 40 verse 5, Isaiah said, a voice spoke to him and said, cry. Give me, is it verse, okay, verse 6, go to verse 6. Okay, the voice said, cry. That word cry, it means, is the Hebrew word kara. It's not to, as in cry, as in somebody stole your phone, you are crying. That's not that type. Okay, that word means to preach or proclaim. Am I communicating? So it's like saying the voice said, preach. And he said, what shall I preach? So you need to get the specific about your calling. Am I communicating? Don't just say, oh, God have called me to business. Which kind of business? There are so many types of business. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook CEO, is in business. Bill Gates is also doing business. Dangote, you eat Dangote salt, Dangote cement, Dangote is also doing business. So don't just balloon dream like that. What exactly, what kind of business? God have called me to ministry. What kind of ministry? Am I communicating? Stick with your assignment. Eh? John the Baptist, God called him to be the forerunner of Christ. As long as he stayed with his calling, he was making way. But when he decided to join women ministry, Herod removed his head. Minister of Women Affairs. Eh? Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So, get the specifics. It's very important. Are you learning something? Glory to God. I say glory to God. God called us to ministry. This is it. He gave us our vision. He gave us our mission. Very specific. There is no ministry on earth with this kind of vision and mission. Exactly. None. Are you seeing that? It's like that. Very specific. God calls and anoints people to do specific things. Okay? Then next, design the right strategy to employ or engage for successful delivery of your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Design the right strategy to employ or engage for successful delivery of your divine purpose, calling, and what? Destiny. Strategy matters. Strategy matters. Don't do copy and paste. If you try to copy another person's strategy that God gave the person, that is customized for the fulfillment of that person's unique calling, purpose, or destiny, you now copy and word paste. You want to use it to fulfill your own. It will not work. Am I communicating? Because assignments are not the same. I say assignments are not the same. The same God that gave you the divine assignment, find out the strategy from him in the place of prayer, from his word, from fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Find out the spirit-given customized strategy. God, part of Joshua's calling is to bring the children of into the promised land, right? That was his main calling, the land of Canaan. And then divide their inheritance to them. But he couldn't do that until he conquered Jericho. But how did he conquer Jericho? Jericho with those impossible walls. It was the Holy Spirit that gave him strategy for success. He said, go round once every day. Don't say anything. Then he said, on the seventh day, go round. On the what? Sixth day, go round seven times. Then at the seventh time, shout and give a long blast, right? Now it may sound foolish, but that is the spirit customized what? Strategy to take the land. But when he got to another territory, God gave a different strategy. Yesterday's strategy may not work today. Find out from the Holy Spirit. Are you getting me? Strategy matters. Moses wanted to use his own human wisdom strategy to accomplish divine agenda. He failed. He was frustrated. He said, okay, I'm the one called to be the deliverer. I'll be killing the Egyptian one by one. He killed the first one, hid him in the sand. Wrong strategy, wrong approach. Pharaoh was looking for him. He had to run away. But when later he encountered Jehovah and God anointed and commissioned him, he said, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. After displaying the wonders of God, those 10 plagues that humbled Pharaoh and Egypt, brought them to their knees, and then finally stubborn Pharaoh said, he gave up. He broke his pride and stubbornness and released them. And then Pharaoh angrily went after them. Did you notice that Jehovah buried the entire military might of what? Egypt in the Red Sea. At the right time, God gave Moses the right strategy. And what he couldn't do by killing them one, he did it in one day. Less than one day. Few hours. All of them were dead. Somebody say the right strategy. That your business. Find out the divine strategy that the Holy Ghost is giving you. Am I communicating? To fulfill it. The right strategy is the cure for frustration and failure. Ecclesiastes 10:15. Strategy, the right strategy is what terminates struggles. Many people struggle to fulfill their divine calling, purpose, and destiny because they lack the right strategy. Strategy cures struggles. It terminates struggles. Ecclesiastes 10:15. It says, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because he knoweth not how to go to the city. He didn't say he does not know the city. There is no ignorance of the vision or destination here. The ignorance here is how to get there. He knows the calling. He knows his assignment. Question. Does he know how to get there? No. So it's a strategy problem, right? The right strategy received from God, it answers the question of how. How do you fulfill the calling? Strategy gives you the how. Am I communicating? Praise God. I say praise God. Now, write this down. Write this down. Write this down. Keys to fulfilling your high calling. Number one, focus. 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 You must maintain, after knowing and designing your divine calling, purpose, and destiny, the next thing you must do is to maintain unbroken focus on your assignment. Maintain total focus, unbroken focus. Matthew 6:22. Maintain what? Unbroken focus. Avoid distractions. Mike Murdock said the number one reason people fail is broken focus. Avoid what? Distractions. The light of the body is the eye. Matthew 6:22. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Focus means single-mindedness. Am I communicating? Let your assignment be the main purpose for your living. Focus on it. Focus on it. Are you getting me? Invest time, energy, resources in that direction. Focus. If you chase two rabbits at the same time, how many will you catch? None. Lack of focus is a major reason for failure. Tell your neighbor, be focused. Concentrate on it. You know, those days I love physics as a science student. There is this converging lens. How many of you remember converging lens those days? We normally do experiments. We'll come outside in the afternoon or when the sun has come out, we'll carry the lens and then we'll focus it on the sun, and then we'll now focus it on a piece of paper. Are you getting me? Do you know the converging lens will converge the rays of the sun and direct it? We'll focus on the paper with the lens like this. The rays of the sun will converge on only one spot. The paper will catch fire. That's to show you the power of focus. You direct all your energy on your assignment. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, he said, I press. You can't fulfill your assignment without focus. Am I communicating? You can't run your race successfully without focus. You know those athletes that run during athletic games, competition, Olympic games? Just imagine you are an athlete, 100 meter dash race, and then on your mark, set, they fire the gun, boom, and then you take off, and then you start listening to the spectators on the stand. See your big head. See leg like yam. See, they like Mario. And then you stop to answer them. You stop to even explain to them that you don't have big head. Distractions. What position will you come in that race? That is how destiny raises. There's what we call selective blindness and deafness. Listen, focus creates relative blindness. That you are blind to anything unrelated to your assignment. Am I communicating? Focus creates relative blindness. Some of you, you know what is happening in every other area minus your assignment. You sit down and gossip this one, gossip that one, gossip everybody, but come to your assignment, zero. Maintain focus. Praise God. Maintain focus on your calling. Invest time. Praise God. If we were not focused, we wouldn't be here. There will always be critics. There will always be detractors. There will always be naysayers. You will always have haters. In fact, if you don't have a hater yet, it shows you either you've not discovered your assignment, or you are not pursuing it, or you are not fulfilling it. Because it will create enemies. Some people will hate you just for it. Remember when Joseph told his dream to his blood brothers, the Bible said they hated him. Envy led to hatred. They even wanted to kill him. Am I communicating? But listen, don't allow your critics, don't allow your haters, don't allow those naysayers to distract you. Avoid distractions. Maintain focus. Be single-minded. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Am I communicating? Stay on your assignment. Give me 1 Corinthians 7:20. Very important. It says, seeing that we are encompassed with so great a cloud of witness. That's not 1 Corinthians 7:20. It says, let every man abide in the same. I'll come to that Hebrews 12. It says, let every man abide. This is a good definition of focus. Abiding in the same calling wherein you are called. It's called focus. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, stay put. After discovering where you belong, stay there. Listen, every star shines from their spot. Are you getting me? And listen, you don't need to envy anybody. Locate your assignment. Locate where you belong. Stay there and shine from there. Ababio, how many of you know Ababio? Chemistry textbook. Told us there are more than 10 raised to power 23 stars. I read Ababio long ago. I don't know whether they've edited it. In the sky, more than 10 raised to power 23 stars. Have you ever seen anyone quarreling that my neighbor's shine is de-shining my shine? Stars don't quarrel with each other. Every star has located where they belong. They shine from their spot. There is enough success with God to go around. See, if you pursue, you follow and pursue your assignment and fulfill it, you will be great, you will be successful. You don't need to envy anybody. The monies will come. Am I communicating? Hi. Focus. Am I communicating? Stay with it. It may not be popular. Stay with it. Even the ones you say they are popular, it was somebody that made it popular. Somebody that decided to stick with his. See, stick with your star. Ah, okay. Not star. Stick with your task until you become a star in your field. Stick. That's focus on stickability. Stick tenaciously with the tenacity of a bulldog. They abuse you, stay put. They yab you, stay put. They say it's not popular, no problem. Are you getting me? Look at Billy Graham. Was he not the one that popularized John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Because that was his assignment to preach salvation from there. He was never tired throughout his lifetime. That was this scripture of his destiny, of the main calling. All the waves came, prosperity, prophetic move, healing move. The guy stayed with his task because that is his calling. Am I communicating? Focus. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Verse 24. Jump to 24. He said, brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein what? Abide with God. Tell your neighbor, stay put. Stop jumping with trend. You know, some people are not focused at all. How will you know? Today, they say they are into which one? Relationship and marriage ministry. After 6 months, they abandon. They say that one, no, they sell. You know, they say now I'm into networking. They are even posting picture on Facebook how they are doing networking business. And after like 3 months, they say, Kai, I'm losing too much. They switch to which one now are they doing? They say I'm now into motivation. Motivation speaker. Then after another 5 months, say, Kai, I dey jam rock too much. They now switch. So now to start church, we don't open church. See, it shows you lack focus. And you are now wondering why you are asking ladies out. You say she should marry you, she has refused to marry you. It's because you lack focus. You don't know where they go. You won't carry somebody's daughter with you. You won't go lost, Sam. Yes, ladies, don't marry a man that lack focus. Yes, sir. It's true. He go lost you. Yes, you go lost for road. Praise God. Be focused now. Am I communicating? Very important. Because when you are focused as a man, you it gives a sense of security to the lady. Okay, this person knows where he's going, and is, you understand, he's committed to one thing. Not that today this one, tomorrow that one, tomorrow, you understand, you are just, you can't be trusted now. Even your shadow no even trust you. You understand? Why did they change anyhow? Praise God. Am I communicating? Give me 1 Kings 20 verse 40. 1 Kings 20 verse 40. Men of focus are men of one thing per time. Okay? He said, as thy servant was busy, a king entrusted somebody to him. He said, keep this person. Okay, go back a bit. You will get it in context. As the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, okay, watch this. The king passed by. He cried unto the king and said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. He said, keep this man. If by any means he is missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. Verse 40. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. The best thing that they told him to keep, they told him your life for his life. He allowed distractions. busy here and there. Your assignment is supposed to be your primary business. Busy here and there, doing Niger bet, watching Z-World, Telemundo, Africa Magic, series movie. Busy here and instead of investing time in your assignment, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself has decided it. You see? Lack of focus. Lack of direction. Lack of focus. Let me give you one interesting definition of distractions. Because distractions are the enemies of your focus. Distractions are side attractions that seek to sidetrack your life and derail your destiny. Should I say it again? Distractions are side attractions that seek to sidetrack your life and derail you from the path of your destiny. Say no to distractions. Next key, faithfulness. You must be faithful. Give me 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2. You must be faithful. You want to fulfill your divine calling, purpose, and destiny, you must be faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness is a major requirement for fulfilling your ministry in kingdom stewardship. Okay? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Hebrews 3:1. To be faithful means to be dependable, to be reliable, to be trustworthy. Am I communicating? To be faithful means to be committed, to be loyal, to be dedicated. Praise God. You must be faithful to the task God has given you. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, verse 2, who was faithful. Now, what did Jesus was faithful to him that appointed him? That's, look at the first dimension of faithfulness, is faithfulness to God, your caller. You must be faithful to God, your caller. Jesus was faithful to God that appointed him, okay? You must be faithful first to who? God, the one that called and sent you. As Moses also was faithful in all his house. That's the second dimension of faithfulness. You must be faithful to the ministry, the assignment God has given you. So the first one is faithfulness to God, your caller. The second dimension is faithfulness to the calling or ministry that God have assigned you. Okay? Jump to 5. He said, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house. That is the house of God. Faithfulness in service as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken after. Now give me Luke 16:1. Luke 16:1. Faithfulness is a capital requirement. In fact, unfaithfulness can run you out of your ministry. Am I communicating? It can disqualify you from fulfilling your ministry. Luke 16:1. Look at this parable. He said unto his disciple, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Verse 2. And he called him and said unto him, the master said to the steward, how is it that I hear this of thee? All this report I'm hearing. He said, give an account of thy stewardship. To be faithful also means to be accountable. Give an account of thy stewardship. Are you aware you are accountable to God? For thou mayest be no longer steward. In other words, you are sacked. What made the master to sack him? Unfaithfulness. Am I communicating? He was accused of wasting. He was wasting the master's goods. Am I communicating? Jump to verse 10. So you must be faithful, you must be accountable. He that is faithful in that. Now let's see, I told you two dimensions of faithfulness, ba? Number one, faithfulness to God, your caller. Number two, faithfulness to the calling or assignment or ministry in service. Now look at, in this verse you will see three levels of faithfulness. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. The first level of faithfulness is faithfulness in that which is least. Look up. It doesn't matter your assignment. God will start you with something little and see whether you are faithful. Am I communicating? Faithfulness in that which is what? Least. If you cannot be faithful or trusted with the very little, forget about much. It did not say, notice this scripture did not say, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in much. Because in our mind, that's how we read it. That's not how this scripture said, though. That's not what he said. He said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. In other words, if you can demonstrate faithfulness in the least, in the very little, you have confirmed to God that you are faithful with much. Are you getting this? That your business, you say you have only three customers. Are you faithful in serving them? Good quality product? Or you are waiting to have 3 million customers? God does not work like that. If you cannot show faithfulness with those three people, forget about 3 million. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. Are you getting? If you ask some of our leaders and pastors that have been around when this ministry started, even when we were very few, I was preaching with the same fire. Pastor Nenku will tell you that I don't look at how many people are around before I decide which how to preach or what message to preach. No. He that is faithful in what? That which is least. Even if you have only three members in your church or in your department, preach to them as if it's 3 million, because they will become 3 million one day. Be faithful. Bishop Oyedepo said, you don't grow big to manage well, you manage well to grow big. You will never grow big until you learn how to manage well, until you are faithful. Be a faithful steward. So that's the first dimension. The second one, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in more. He that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. Verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? The second level of faithfulness is faithfulness in handling money. Faithfulness in handling money. Are you faithful in handling money? Or you say you want to start business. Say, God, give me capital. God, give me capital. In 2 months, God gave you capital in 2 months. You don't chop both the profit and the capital. Records, you know they keep. No records. No bookkeeping. Just come. Say, you talk to the, what do they call it, salesperson that is selling for you. Can I have 5K there? Say, okay, my record. Shut up. Give me something, Joe. Now your business. So you now wonder why your business is not making progress. You are not faithful. A pastor friend came here. He was gisting me of a pastor in Abuja that after church service, all the offerings, so they don't count it all. The pastor will just say, he will open his boot, pour it inside, close. It's people, they do things and you dare not ask him anything. You just carry all the ushers as they collect the tea inside basket, just go straight to pastor's boot, you pour it in the car, they will close it, bring and go give him the key, you put in his pocket, drive it home. Now so Sunday after Sundays, midweek service, everything. You understand? The Bible says, if you are not, listen, you must be faithful in handling money. You must be a good money manager. Am I communicating? Keep records. Do you even record your expenses? Or you just spend anywhere belle face? Am I communicating? Let me not talk too much. We'll come to this in our May series. Because it's going to be a money series. We'll talk more about that. Next, verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, that's the third level of faithfulness. You must be faithful in that which is what? Another man's own. Before God can commit to you your own. Am I communicating? Now, I'll give example of Joseph. How Joseph was able to meet these three levels of faithfulness. Number one, before Joseph, God could take him to become to the level of prime minister. Number one, he was faithful in that which is very little. What was the first assignment the father gave him? Taking care, go and check the welfare of his brothers. Right? They sent him as errand boy. Is that not service? Eh? He was running errand. He said, go and see how your brethren are doing, taking care of the flock. He will come back and he will come and give reports. He was accountable. Say, hey, today they went here, they did this. He will give every report, including the good, the bad, the ugly. He does not edit it all. His brethren hated him for that. He was houseboy in Potiphar's house. They sold him into slavery. Potiphar bought him. The Bible said he was so faithful. Everything he did it well. Potiphar never accused him of stealing one naira. That's to tell you he was faithful in handling money. Some of you, they gave you business to run for. Or God gave you business to run for him. You are chopping. You say, now where man they walk, now there you go chop. That's why they call you workshop. Workshop. You collect your own. Did you ever hear Potiphar accuse Joseph of embezzling fund? Never. He was faithful in handling Potiphar's household and Potiphar's business enterprise. God saw his faithfulness. God promoted him to be in charge of the Egyptian prison, federal prison, from one man's business, private enterprise, to what? Federal. Is that not promotion? Even though it didn't look like promotion the way it happened, but it was promotion. And he got to prison. He was so faithful that the prison, the officer in charge, handed over the whole prisoners to him. He gave him all the keys. What? No fear of jailbreak. That's to tell you how faithful he was. The officer could trust him that this guy will never run. Imagine, oh, I'm a prisoner, Joseph is a prisoner. They now handed over and gave him key. Haba mana. Eh? That's to tell you the level of his faithfulness. He was so trustworthy. Are you getting this? Are you that faithful? Are you that faithful? Are you reliable? Many people, God cannot use them because they are not trustworthy. They are not faithful. They are not faithful. Am I communicating? Grace for faithfulness is coming upon you. Joseph was faithful in handling the very little, the least. He was faithful in handling money. He was faithful in handling that which is another man's. Potiphar's household and Potiphar's business enterprise. Who owned it? Potiphar. It doesn't belong to Joseph, but Joseph handled it as if it was his own. Egyptian federal prison, owned by who? Egypt. But Joseph handled it as if it was his own. He was faithful. God saw it. God said, okay, it's time to promote you. If you can handle Potiphar's house and Potiphar's business, you can handle faithfully the Egyptian federal prison, I can trust you to become prime minister, to handle the whole of Egypt. Because he that is faithful in the very least is faithful in much. He that is faithful in another man, God will give you your own. But if you don't know how to handle another man's own, God will not give you your own. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? This is why many government drivers, they end up not getting their own car, because they are not faithful. You see, they drive government car anyhow. Boom! Barwana, now governor tine. They don't take care of it, they don't care. You know, it just anyhow. Are you getting me? Praise God. Next key, you need faith, the partnership of faith. I'll be fast now because I must round up this. You need to partner with God in faith. Very important. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. The Bible says with all things are possible to him that believeth. It says the just shall live by faith. If you cannot please God by faith, neither can you fulfill your calling. There will be challenges in the process of fulfilling your calling. And that's why you need to partner with God in faith. Am I communicating? Faith will help you to surmount opposition. Your faith is a victory over the challenges. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Am I communicating? So fulfilling your divine calling requires a partnership of faith. You will need to take action steps of faith. Your faith is proved by your words and actions of obedience. Am I communicating? Kill fear and start taking action steps. Some of you, God have spoken to you to do this, do that, but you are still dilly-dallying. You are still dragging your feet. That's why you will never see the glory of God manifested until you take those action steps of faith. Am I communicating? Jordan did not part until the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant step in with their leg into the water. Am I communicating? Begin to take bold steps in faith. Make that phone call. Start that business. Meet that person. Are you getting me? What God have told you to do, act on them. Faith is acting on God's word that you have believed. Doing the word of God that you have heard and believed. Am I communicating? So you build your faith in order to deliver a glorious destiny. You take up the responsibility of faith, and you must be very courageous. Very courageous. Courage must always follow faith. Because there will be oppositions. There will be things that scare you. Am I communicating? But they will not kill you. Become like Esther. Take bold action steps with courage. He said, I'm going to see the king, which is against the law. If I perish, I perish. That's courage. And people that talk like that and take spiritual steps, they don't perish. The next key is diligence. 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 Proverbs 22:29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? That business there is his calling. That business there is his divine assignment. That business there is his destiny. Am I communicating? You must be diligent in the pursuit and fulfillment of your calling. You must be diligent in your business. You must put in the work. You must labor. You must give it all that it takes so that it can deliver and release to you all that it contains. You must not be lazy. Work hard, work creatively, and work what? What are the three components of smart work? Hard work, the right work, and creative work. So be a smart worker. Am I communicating? 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. His grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly. You see, the grace of God and labor are not mutually exclusive. In fact, grace empowers you to labor, energizes you, enables you to labor. Okay? There is a labor dimension. to fulfilling your calling. Don't be lazy. He said, I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God. Am I communicating? Which was with me. In other words, the grace was enabling, energizing him to labor. What are some areas that you must be diligent in? Number one, be diligent in the place of studies for the acquisition of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. 2 Timothy 2 verse 17. He says, study. Paul writing to Timothy, he said, you want to fulfill your calling? Okay, is it first 2 Timothy 2 15? Thank you. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Am I communicating? So you must be studious, become a student, read books, study God's word, meditate on it, apply it practically, be a doer of the word. Am I communicating? Be diligent in study of God's word. Be diligent in reading along your area of calling. Get books in line with your calling. Study well in line with your calling. Go for training, formal and informal training, and even self-training. Subscribe to training. Don't be lazy in that area. Am I communicating? Diligence. Be diligent in prayers. Don't be lazy. Be diligent in prayer. Be diligent in personal development. Be diligent in personal growth and transformation. You must put in the work. It takes a serious approach to have a glorious result. Am I communicating? The next key, build capacity. Build what? Build capacity to fulfill destiny. You must build what? Capacity. You must be competent. Develop your competence level. Do what you do well. Develop expertise. Be excellent at what you do. Kill mediocrity. The worst enemy of the better is the good. The worst enemy of excellence is not failure, is mediocrity. Mediocrity is the worst enemy of excellence. Choose to be excellent. Choose to be exceptional. Sharpen your skill. Develop your raw talent. Develop your gift. Sharpen them until they become skills that have commercial value. Valuable skills. Am I communicating? I like to tell people, if David was not competent, they would not have suggested him to come and play harp for King Saul, who was tormented by evil spirit. David wouldn't have gotten to the palace if he was not competent. Am I communicating? Let me tell you, neighbor, do what you do well. Build capacity. Be excellent. Be exceptional. Give me that Proverbs 22:29. Give me a message translation. Message translation. Don't accept mediocrity. Don't accept mediocrity. Keep improving. Constant improvement. Practice, improve. Practice, improve. Practice, improve. Until you become the best possible version of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand. Did you see that? And admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone. Excellence is key to prominence. If Joseph was not competent, if he had not developed capacity, you think when they had called him to solve that national problem of interpreting the king's dream, you think he would have succeeded? He would have failed. And they will have returned him back to prison. See, opportunities will pass you by if you don't develop yourself and build capacity. Opportunities will keep passing you by if you don't develop your level of competence. Whether as a career person, whether as a business person, whether as somebody called to politics and governance, develop your what? Your capacity. Your problem solving skills. Very important. Glory to God. Not that they say do cake. The cake has too much salt. One side, the other side, too much sugar. In between, no sugar, no salt. And you expect governor to give you contract to make wedding cake or a cake for birthday. You understand? It doesn't work like the people don't recommend. There's what we call the law of recommendation. For people to recommend you, you must be extremely good at what you do. For the king's butler to recommend Joseph to interpret Pharaoh's dream, Joseph was very good and he had proved it. He interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker when they were in prison. Imagine if he didn't do it well. Listen, business people, hear me very well. This is how your business go blow. Blow, blow, blow like the mic. You won't blow? If you want to blow, be competent, be excellent. Are you getting me? You say you are a tailor. You sew somebody trouser. One leg is longer, one is jump up, one is... The person is complaining to you. Say, it depends on the angle you view it. Look at you. And you think you will get customers? Do excellent work. Listen, excellence is self-advertising. Excellence is self-advertising. There's no racism. Now, when Joseph interpreted the king's dream, did they say, this guy is not an Egyptian, he cannot be prime minister? Excellence is a cure for prejudice, racism, all this thing. How did Daniel rise in Babylon? Excellence. He interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, something nobody could do, and they promoted him. Am I communicating? Daniel was preferred above the princes and the other president because an excellent spirit was in him. Daniel 6 verse 3. And the king set him over the realm. Am I communicating? Be excellent at what you do. I say be excellent at what you do. You won't beg for customers. You won't beg for patronage. Hey, patronize my business now. Mona buy, Mona buy. Are you excellent? Are you competent? Eh? You say you are selling peanut. You are selling peanut. Somebody bought peanut and you see goat shit inside as part of it. See? Next time you think he will buy peanut from him. You say na mistake. Am I communicating? Your integrity is at stake. They won't trust you. So build capacity. Build capacity. Spiritual capacity in prayers in the word. Build spiritual capacity. Mental capacity. Read books, read books in the area of your calling. Read books. Don't be lazy in that area. Buy books, read them. Some people buy, they don't read. Buy, read. Some buy, they read, but they don't apply them. Buy, read, and apply those things you are learning practically. Build strength capacity. Build your faith capacity. Build wisdom capacity. Build your visionary capacity, because what God gives is directly proportional to your visionary capacity. What you cannot see, you cannot seize. God told Abraham, all the land you see, I have given to you. If you cannot see it, you can't get it. Build your financial capacity. Build your managerial capacity. Praise God. I move to the next key. Kalabasha. You need wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. Proverbs 4:7, he said, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is a principal thing, even in the fulfillment of your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Give me Proverbs 24 verse 3. He said, true wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. And by what? Knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Go back to verse 3. He said, true wisdom is a house. That house there, see that house as your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Can we read it together now? Instead of house, put your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. 1, 2, 3, go. True wisdom is your divine calling, purpose, and destiny built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge shall what? All the chambers be filled. You want to build as a your divine calling, purpose, and destiny as a wise master builder? Go for the wisdom of God. The word of God is a bank of God's wisdom. The word of God is God's wisdom in print. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom can also come through books, through mentorship. Am I communicating? The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Go for wisdom. Get wisdom. Wisdom will give you the right strategy to fulfill your calling. We say you need the right strategy. It is wisdom that gives you the right strategy. Am I communicating? Next, you need divine favor. Luke 1:28. Divine favor, and divine favor comes with fortune. It comes with fortunes. It comes with fortunes. You need favor, favor with God and men. And the angel said, Angel Gabriel came in unto her. That's Mary, the mother of Jesus. He said, hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among what? Women. Luke 2:52 concerning Jesus. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in what? In favor with God. Amen. Look up. You will struggle, you will suffer without the favor of God and without favor with men. You need both. Am I communicating? It is favor that will move people to partner with you, to help you. It is favor that will make people to even give to you. Do you know human beings are naturally selfish? It takes favor. Jesus needed the favor of God to fulfill his messianic mission. How much more you? Give me 1 Samuel. What about Prophet Samuel 2:26? He needed the favor of God. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. You see, similar statement. Favor with God. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive favor with God and favor with men. Hi. Favor will terminate a lot of struggles and sufferings in your life. It's a principal requirement. Favor is the major manifestation of the grace of God. Glory to God. Listen, the favor of God will give you the money you need, the material resources you need, the human resources you need, the gift of men. The favor of God will bring them to you, attract them like a magnet. Hallelujah. The favor of God will move systems, institutions to help and favor you. You enjoy supernatural help. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can't fulfill your calling without favor. Look at Psalm 44 verse 3. He said, they got not the land, the children of Israel, they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but by thy right hand, thy arm, the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. God gave them favor. Nehemiah, he could fulfill his calling of rebuilding the broken wall because God gave him favor before the king. The king gave him timber, gave him right of passage. Are you seeing that? Everything. Is it according to the good hand of my God that was upon me? Everything he requested, God gave him by favor. Are you getting me? Even to rebuild the temple, Ezra. You will read in the book of Ezra how God gave. It was favor that made the king to supply everything they needed. Kai. He said, let it be given them day by day without fail. Until the building, the government used government money to sponsor kingdom project. Somebody say favor. Favor is superior to money. Favor can buy money. Money cannot buy favor. You need favor with God. Amen. Next, you need the gift of men. What I call ministry of destiny helpers. Nobody can fulfill their divine calling, purpose, and destiny in isolation. God's method are men. Our purposes and callings are connected. Purposes are interdependent. Am I communicating? You need the ministry of destiny helpers. There are people God have assigned to help you fulfill your calling. You need to be able to discern them when God brings them their way. God often lines them on your path. And depending on the season, depending on the phase, he brings them your way. So you need the gift of men. You need the right association, the right company. If God wants to help you, he bring the right people your way. If Satan wants to destroy you, he bring the wrong people your way. Am I communicating? So you must be discerning. You can't fulfill your divine calling, purpose, and destiny without the right associations, the right connections, the right company. Your association determines your acceleration or deceleration. Right association brings about acceleration of your life and destiny. Wrong association brings about deceleration and even retrogression. Your connection determines your collection. Who you know determines what follows you. Who you follow determines what follows you. Who you know determines how far you go. Am I communicating? Trust God to connect you with the right people he has placed on your path. Am I communicating? When the anointing, 1 Samuel 10, came upon King Saul, the next thing, you see how God lined people on his path. He said, you will meet three men. You will meet two people, two to three, three to a company. Am I communicating? Then next, you need to be disciplined. In discipline, we make you not to fulfill your destiny. Just write this scripture down. I won't talk much on this. Pastor Nenkup taught on discipline yesterday. Get the message during Festival of Fire. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. You need to be disciplined. It takes discipline to even be diligent. It takes discipline to be faithful. It takes discipline to be committed, dedicated. Consistency is impossible without discipline. Okay? Pastor Nenkup said something. He said, discipline is being a law to yourself. Okay? Discipline yourself to study. Discipline yourself to put in the labor. To get wisdom. To get knowledge. Discipline yourself to pray. Discipline yourself to subscribe to the relevant training. Then next, you need mentorship. The power of mentorship. The Bible says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Mentors are instructors. Mentors are life coaches. They are life trainers. Am I communicating? They help you to fulfill your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. The relevant mentorship, relevant coaching. I told you God will put you under tutors and governors. You need their wisdom. You absorb. What are the things you get from mentorship? You learn from their experience, so you know what to do and what not to do. If you fail to learn by instruction and mentorship, you will end up learning by your own experience, which is very painful. So in mentorship, somebody is teaching you from his own experience. So you are learning without the pain he experienced. Are you getting this? So it saves you a lot of mistakes and errors. Mentorship will minimize your mistakes and errors and help you maximize your potential. So you gain wisdom, you absorb wisdom from mentorship, you receive counsel, godly counsel, of course in line with God's word and God's will for your life. Through mentorship you receive impartation of grace and the anointing to become, am I communicating, to fulfill your calling, purpose and destiny. Hallelujah. Then you need character. They cultivate godly character, Christ-like character. Okay, look up. Your character is the strongest prophecy over your destiny. No amount of prophecy can help you if you have bad character. So you must, character has to do with the fruit of the Spirit. You already have them if you are born again. All you need to do is to nurture them, cultivate them, grow them by God's word, meditate and do God's word, spending time in fellowship, in prayer. Are you getting me? Develop Christ-like character. That is the highest parameter to measure spirituality, is character. Praise God. If Joseph didn't have character, good character, will he have fulfilled his destiny? Eh? A lot of people's destiny crashes on the altar of bad character. Kill all those things. Imagine if Joseph had slept with Potiphar's wife, will he ever have become prime minister in the palace? He will have, see, if he had, let me tell you something. If Joseph had agreed to yield to that temptation, if he had slept with Potiphar's wife, at best he would have ended up as chief with cap and uniform. In Joseph's, that his destiny journey will have ended there, because Mrs. Potiphar won't let him go, so he will serve there all the days of his life. Kill all those things. Sex for how many minutes? 5 minutes. And your destiny, you have spoiled, damaged it. It is the grace of God that will now help you. Kill those things. Am I communicating? I say kill those things. Choose to live for God. Say no to immorality. Flee all those things. They will cost you your destiny. Kill pride and arrogance. Unforgiveness, bitterness. Look at another good character from Joseph. Despite all that his brethren did to him, when he finally unveiled himself, revealed, I'm Joseph, the one he sold into slavery, he said, you meant it for evil, God has turned it around for good. He said, God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. He chose to forgive them despite all they did to him. All this one, you are keeping malice, unforgiveness, bottling everything, bitterness, everything. Say, I will never forgive him. I will never, if this virgin me, I did 5 abortion for him, he jilted me, he married another lady, I swear I will never forgive him. Oh, now you go suffer. He has moved on, you have imprisoned yourself with unforgiveness. You know, there are people that are even angry with somebody that is not even aware that he did them wrong. See, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and you expect the other person you are angry about to die. You see, forgive and forget. If I forgive people in advance, are you getting godly character? Then the last key, I will pray. The indispensable ministry of the Holy Spirit. Fulfilling your divine calling, purpose and destiny requires you to partner with the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? You partner with God through His Spirit. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, you will never fulfill your calling, purpose and destiny. Zechariah 4 verse 6. The fulfillment of your divine calling requires your partnership, your cooperation, your collaboration with the Holy Spirit, with God your caller. Am I communicating? The Holy Ghost is the secret of grace, is the spirit of grace. He gives you the grace, divine ability, enablement, divine energy to fulfill your calling. Are you getting me? You need his help. He's your indispensable helper. The Holy Ghost is your helper. You need help, not just human help. You need, in fact, the number one help you need is the help of the Holy Spirit. It's even the Holy Spirit that will bring the human helpers. Are you getting this? He says, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by human might, not by human power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. By my spirit. You can only fulfill your divine calling, not in the energy of the flesh. You can only fulfill it by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the enablement of the Spirit of God. Am I communicating? Paul said, thank God. Thanks be to God who has enabled me. How did God enable him? By the power of the Holy Ghost. By his grace. The Holy Ghost is a secret of grace. Is a spirit of grace. He says, not by human might, not by human power, but by my spirit. When it comes to fulfilling your divine calling, the arm of flesh will fail you. By woman's strength shall no man prevail. We prevail by the power of the Spirit. By my Spirit. You need his help. And he's here to help you. He gives you wisdom. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He gives you counsel. He's your wonderful counselor. The Holy Ghost is your comforter. The Holy Ghost is your strengthener. You need strength. He is your helper. He is your counselor. Am I communicating? He is your intercessor. He is your standby. He is your advocate. You need his ministry or else you will fail. Are you getting me? He is the one that gives you divine instruction. You need his guidance. He says, I will guide you and lead you along the right path. He's the one that guides you. You need his guidance. You need him to give you direction as you go about fulfilling your calling. In Acts chapter 16, there was a time, I think 6 and 7, Apostle Paul and his missionary team, the Holy Ghost will tell them, don't go here. These people are not ready for the gospel. They wanted to enter, he said now, verse 6. Go to verse 6. When they had gone throughout Phrygia and region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7, it says, after they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. You need guidance. It's not everywhere you go. You need guidance. You need guidance. You need his direction. Give me Isaiah 48 verse 17. Isaiah 48 verse 17. He says, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, we teacheth thee to profit. We leadeth thee by the way thou shouldest go. Then verse 21. Give me verse 21. He said, they tested not when he led them. They tested not when he led them through the desert. Though they went through the desert, they did not taste. Why? Because he led them. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleared the rock also and the waters gushed out. The guidance and direction from the Holy Spirit. Subscribe to his lordship. Submit to his lordship. Yield to his leadership. If you want to fulfill your divine calling, purpose and destiny. Are you getting this? You need his help. Paul said, I labor, Colossians 1:29. I strive according to his working. Rise to your feet. Which worketh in me mighty. Whereunto I also labor. Even the labor, you need his grace. He's the one that gives you grace to labor. He says, it is God which is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Both the desire and the effort will come from the Holy Ghost within. It says, not that we are sufficient to think anything as coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The Holy Ghost is your ability. He gives you the ability. He qualifies you with his grace, with his power to fulfill your divine calling. Give me this in Amplified. Colossians 1:29. I like the way Amplified put it. Mandabaya. He said, for this I labor unto weariness, striving with all what? There is human energy, then there is superhuman energy, which he so mightily enkindles and work within me. Can you shout amen? The Holy Ghost supplies superhuman energy. You can't fulfill your calling in the energy of the flesh. No wonder even Jesus, before he gave them the great commission, the disciple, he said, tarry ye. Luke 24:49, in the city of Jerusalem, he gave them a specific place. He says, until you be endued with power from on high. Then in Acts 1:8, he told them, in Acts 1:8, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. See, you need power to fulfill your calling, because there are satanic opposition. If God called you, Satan will do everything to stop you. Satan will steal everything, raise doors against you. This is where you need the supernatural empowerment that comes from the Holy Ghost by his grace and by the anointing. Glory to God. In 1-2 minutes, I want you to lift up your voice. There is grace for you. There is grace for you. You are going to lift up your voice and make demand upon God to release the empowerment of the Spirit for you to fulfill your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. The anointing you need, he says, it's not by human might, it's not by human power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Are you ready to pray this prayer? In 1-2 minutes, our time is fast spent. In 1-2 minutes, sir, is your strengthener. Malevoko Sapalataya. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. If you are here and you want to make your way right with God, you are serious about
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Satlonking or to partner with us, please visit www.hmionline.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 006-530-2610 or 0703-699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.